Thank you for that introduction. If I'm a little dry throat, excuse me, I'm fasting. Can't you take a sip of water? But inshallah. First, let me greet you all with a greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with all of you. The topic that we are talking about and the excellent work that Jubilee is doing is very close to my heart. And it's sometimes very difficult to put your thoughts and feelings in words because those feelings run very deep. And you literally need to extract. And with every feeling, there is hurt as well. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, gave us a diagnostic tool to recognize if we are a community. We use this word very loosely, right? Community, community. And he said to us, community is like one body. Even if the little pinky finger hurts, we all know the paper cuts, the whole body feels it, is not at rest. And so if you turn that around and ask yourselves, we call ourselves a community, but do we feel the pain of the other, of those who are under oppression of poverty? Because honestly, when we talk about oppression and persecution, we think of big events like wars and occupation and colonization. But every day in our neighborhoods, we are committing oppression. We are persecuting. And who do we do that to? The ones who have the least. Right? Whenever I go by any of these fast food stores, restaurants, and they offer these big king meals, half of which is thrown away, and I look at it and I think, it could have fed a family. Right? The amount of food that we throw out every day because they really don't expire, they just not look good enough to keep it in the stores, instead of giving it away, right? The other thing that I find hurtful is also the fact that when we do what we are supposed to do, which is our duty to do, is to take care of our neighbors, we consider it charity. It is not charity. Charity brings out to the level of I have it, you don't. Here, take some crumbs. Charity is actually that springs from the heart, that duty, the responsibility. The Prophet also said to us, a Muslim, one who submits to the Creator, is not one who can sleep with a full stomach while their neighbors go hungry. Again, diagnose yourself. Be aware of what we, each and every one of us, are doing. Because my friends, community, or all of us together may be an ocean, but the ocean is only made with one drop at a time. Right? So each and every one of us can make a difference. The people who came together to form Jubilee Fund came as individuals, saw the need, and stepped in. Many of us just walk by. We see the need, we see the suffering, we have the ability to do something, but we don't, right? Because it is hurtful, because we are shaken to our core, and so we look away. So when you're talking about poverty reduction, because of course there will always be, especially in a capitalist society, there will always be those who will have more, and that is fine, they have worked for it, and there will be those who will not, for whatever circumstance and reason. So how do we do it? You know, people often ask me, your community, and I look at them, what do you mean, my community? And you know, the Muslim community. Well, Yeah, it is one part, but my community is Winnipeg. I don't like these silos of this community and that community, because we have to cross connect to make a change. Remember that if one finger hurts, the whole body feels the pain. Are we feeling the pain? And this is a question that we have to answer for ourselves, each and every one of us. In Islam, there is a, under Islamic law, there are so many rituals, five rituals that we have to do. One of them is zakat. It's an Arabic word which means compulsory giving. And it's calculated at 2.5% of your income, whether it's an income or it's an income from investment or your inheritance, has to go to feeding the poor, to the needy, to the wayfarer, to the widows, to the orphans, right? And it's a compulsory. And whoever is in need can apply and benefit from that. One of the things that I found very interesting in the Islamic history was that zakat was collected by the state and then it was dispersed. So it was not like somebody going and giving somebody and taking away their dignity, right? Here I am. It was done in a way that they did not know. And I think that's the objective of Jubilee as well, not to make someone feel. And that's one of the models that we really need today. Yes, we are doing soup kitchens. What are we serving? Are we serving what's on our tables? Right? So these very fundamental self-awareness and questions that we need to think about. There are dietary restrictions and there are dietary considerations. But is really soup kitchens the answer? I have volunteered on some, and I have looked at the faces who come through the line. They're not free to just pick up. We have limited amounts, so we will serve you. Those faces, tell a story that I cannot believe that we in Canada were supposed to be one of the richest lands in this world, have to experience. And that is why I say to you, don't look at it as charity, because then you will do the least. But look at it as a responsibility and a gift, and then you will do the most. We will do the most. But we shy away from that. So what do we do? There was a need. There was no Islamic social services. Our people could not access soup kitchens or other places where food was given, like Harvest, because of the dietary restrictions, right? There was some, I remember, during the war in Iraq, they were sending packages by United Nations, and they were throwing these, it was Kosovo. They were sending tuna cans and potatoes. Well, potatoes is not considered a good thing for them to eat, and canned fish is never. They go, they fish, they eat. So that kind of understanding that when we are working with so many small communities coming together as one community, how much do we really know about each other? How sensitive are we to the fact that? And then I've seen people get upset. Oh, well, we took them a food hamper and they said no. And I said, well, you took ham, they can't have ham. So sometimes the best of intentions can backfire. So before we start cross-cultural collaboration on anything, even if it is just for poverty, which everybody wants to work, or homelessness is another product of poverty. Poverty has a ripple effect on people's lives, from their physical health to their mental health to their family's health, right? It is not a one-shot thing, well, you give a hamper and everything will be fine. No, it's not. So this wider scope through which we should look at this issue in our community, one of the richest countries in the world, has to be also a bigger vision. So I have some H for you, for our self-awareness and for us to understand. I love to play with alphabets. So from my own thing, how did it start? How this community, doing community work started? First of all, let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. Why are we doing this? Is it for self-glory? Is it for show everybody I'm better than you? Look what I did, look what I'm doing. Or is it really and truly a sincere effort to help? Because really when we help someone, you know who do we help first? Ourselves. It's a two-way. It's not just you giving. You are getting back. As a person of faith, you get back their prayers. Right? You get back something that empowers your soul. So you do get back. And in our tradition, they say you get 70 times of what you have given. And it's all be cashed up there. You may not get to cash it here. But that satisfaction of the soul is what we are all aspiring for, aren't we? That we be content. Contentment comes from giving. Our Prophet said even a smile is charity. You get the reward of charity by just smiling at someone. That doesn't cost anything, right? But we even hold that back. The other thing is, try to think how healthy your motives are for this. Check your biases. That's the second thing that every day I check. Every night before I go to sleep, I check what I did was for what, right? And honor those you serve. You cannot take away a human dignity. We cannot trample on human dignity. Look at where our people who cannot afford a living. Rat infested dumps. They are forced to live there. And then we say, oh, well, why can't they just strap up their boots and get up and go out and do something? We've already crushed them. And in Winnipeg, go into downtown, inner city, look at those buildings, look at those structures that hold the community services, by the way. Right? So we are speaking loud and clear that you're not part of this community. And so each and every one of us has to do that. But what I found most helpful when you're doing this work, and all of you are in your own way, and I know it's tiring, and I know sometimes you feel like, am I even making a difference? Well, humor is your, that's what I rely on, humor. And humor is not making jokes and making fun of people. Humor is a way of thinking, a way of not letting something that is bothering you take over you, like despair. Like some of us for 30 years who've been doing this work, sometimes feel, right? And then you have somebody like Muhammad walk up to you and tell you, oh, well, what you're doing is good. Thank you, Muhammad, I needed that today. So it's, again, that kind of comradeship, right? But we're talking about cross-cultural. you know, patting each other at the back. I'm here for you, you know. And having that diversity of people that are surrounding you to support you, because you can't do this alone. You will burn out. And many of you may have already experienced that burnout, because you feel like you are hitting on deafness in our governments and us, in our councils and all that. The other thing is, when you help, do not dictate. We come in a Western culture, when we help somebody, we also want to dictate to them. That doesn't help. Let people live their lives on their own terms. You can advise, you can counsel, but give them the human dignity to make their own decisions. You know, and when it is the hardest for a counselor like me, when I'm working with domestic violent clients, and you just want them to get out of this relationship and go away, right? You have to hold yourself back, because that has to be their decision. Their human dignity was crushed, and by you imposing what they need to do, you are doing it further. You're adding to it, right? So it's sometimes very hard to hold back. So you help somebody and they thank you and they go on their way, and then you find out after a couple of years, guess what, they're back there. And that frustrates you. But that's life, right? The other thing is, please hear people you're helping. Here, you know, I tell the government, we were just with the federal government in some kind of thing they were doing, consulting. And I said, you know, all the funding that you give has all these rules and this. So small organizations like myself, we think, we need money, but they will only give it to this. So how do we twist and turn ourselves around so we fit this frame? And I said, that's not helping. Talk to us and ask us what we need, and then make the funds available accordingly. But you see how tipsy-turvy our world is. And I don't hold back. So whether they like it or not, they hear it. So the other thing is, hesitate. Just take a moment to think things through before you throw your hat in it. Because hesitation gives you a time to critically think and process. Unfortunately, for young people who are in this field, social media has slowly taken away the ability to process, or the time to process, or critically think, right? One solution is not fit all. And times have changed. So how do you adapt your policies to the new realities? Right? And then again, take a holistic approach. You know, when we sent a client to a lawyer who has immigration issues, whose wife has called the police on him, just giving you examples, or they want to bring their family here, they have faced racism at the workplace. So which lawyer do we send it to? Right? Because each lawyer will, well, I can take care of this, but I can't take care of that. So where is the holistic approach? So if you're helping people in need, then look at their whole situation. Because it's definitely impacting their family, it's definitely impacting their performance at work or whatever. So I leave you, I know I had half an hour, I don't know how much of time, but I really love to hear from people and for them to ask questions, because I don't like to write, I speak from the heart. But I can tell you, we all face hurdles, but those hurdles are to make us stronger. More, our resolve to get more strengthened. So don't shy away from that. You are doing something right if everybody disagrees with you. My experience has been, when two opposite sides are both telling you, no, 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 then there is something in the middle that is just right. So don't get disheartened. our faith, no matter what it is based on hope. Human beings are hopeful, resilient. If you work with refugees, you see the resilience. If you work with the indigenous community, which is my example of resiliency, you say, wow, we are the best of creation. But are we acting like the best of creation? Right? So I leave you with that. And I hope we can have some discussion. Thank you.